Thanks to Hawthorne for supporting FilmSack. Hawthorne is a premium, tailored, personal care brand that makes it easy for guys to feel and smell their best. Take Hawthorne's quiz today and get started on your personalized self-care routine by going to hawthorne.co and using the promo code FilmSack to get 10% off your first purchase.
Talking helps make the nightmares go away.
Well, Chucky was trying to take over my soul.
Why?
He was this bad man who got inside my good guy doll so he wouldn't have to go to hell. But then he wanted to get inside me.
Why, Andy?
Because if he stayed inside the doll too long, he'd be trapped in there. He needed me because I was the first person he told his secret to.
What secret?
That his real name was Charles Lee Ray.
Boy, that's a scary dream.
I'm alive.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack. Sorry, I'm laughing because somebody sniffed really hard during the intro. I don't know who that was. Crack me up. Part of Halloween. What are you going to do? Hey, it's me, Scott Johnson, here. It's FilmSack. It's mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 486, and I'm joined today on this Sacktober episode by Brian. Want to hear me say your name backwards? Dunaway.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Grab your bags and sort your goodies while we spin you a tale from the sack. Hello and welcome to the Good Guy Build-A-Buddy Workshop, now open in the Chicago Mall. Today we have invited a few lucky kids from the Chicago Orphanarium for the chance to build their very own licensed and totally official and totally not evil talking good guy doll. All right, little orphaned Andy. That's right, little orphaned Andy. Grab a metal doll head and some recycled old people dentures from that bucket next to you and get over here. Pour some hot plastic all over that mess, and I'll supervise from a safe distance. Hey, you're doing great, Andy. But don't look at me, Andy. Look at the doll. Not me, Andy. The doll. All right, calm down. We have a burn kit on the way. Stop crying and grab some eyes out of that bucket you knocked over when you were flailing about. Now, carefully load those eyes into the eye gun. Yeah, we got one of those. We're going to have you shoot the eyes right into the doll's face. I know it may sound ridiculous, but trust me, it really is the only way. Okay, everybody, it looks like Andy has ironically shot his own eyes out with his eye gun. Okay, hang on, Andy. I have a plan. I'm going to transfer your life force into your doll with a voodoo chant I learned in a mall jail a few years back. Okay, here it goes. Mecha Lecha High, Mecha Lecha Heiny Ho, Orange Julius, Corn Dog 7, give me the power, Claire's, I beg of you. Andy? Andy, are you in there? Okay, Andy's dead. No, wait, he stabbed my leg. It's good. It looks like he is going to be fine. Hey, Andy, don't do that. What's that, Andy? Call you Chucky. All right, Chuck, let's get you back in the bus. Oh, you want a piggyback ride? Okay, hop on. Hey, not so tight, Chuck. Hey. And now for something really evil. Randy?
Wow, that was fantastic. I especially liked your ceremonial utterances there.
Yeah, your chants.
Yeah.
That was good. I like that a lot. Also with us and joining us today, Randy, when you need batteries, look no further than the good guy batteries, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Randy.
All right, here we go. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Drop umbrella, just let it go, I guess. Eeny, meeny, miny, my. Very hard rain, but streets are dry. Eeny, meeny, miny, mod. If you wave a rotary grinder about half an inch above a surface, nothing happens. I can see you not making contact with that thing, Todd. Eeny, meeny, miny, choke. Teenager secret bedroom smoke. Eeny, meeny, miny, mile. Take a girl and name her Kyle. Eeny, meeny, miny, mize. Put more eyes into your eyes. No. Eeny, meeny, miny, mash. That's a gold card, and it's as good as cash. It's as good as cash.
Good as cash. That was a good rhyme.
Last one.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mass.
Oh, there's more.
What do you want me to do with this doll? Put it up my ass? Okay, I'll have to take it home with me then. Thank you.
Oh, very, very good. By the way, we got to talk about Kyle. Okay, moving on.
Lotion.
Finally, Brian, Tommy's been in the basement since last night, Ibit.
So true.
What is up, YouTube? It's your boy Jimmy here with another episode of Restoration Nation. Oh. Today, we're going back to the 1980s to restore this childhood friend to a whole generation of kids, the Good Guys doll. Hugely popular when they were introduced in 1988, they've seen a resurgence in popularity lately thanks to the new adult-oriented gritty crime drama series on Netflix. But thanks to you guys in the Restoration Nation family, especially Larry Ferguson in Pocatello, Idaho, who found this guy in a landfill just down the street from his sad little apartment. Thanks, Larry! Well, as you can see, this doll has definitely seen better days. We're going to begin by scraping off some of the soot and dirt and grime with a handy X-Acto knife. There we go. All right, now we can see his face. Okay, this little dude is missing an eye, so let's walk over to the box of replacement parts and see if we can find another one. Ah, here we go. You know, it's really important to make sure that the eye colors match. Oh, hey, where'd my X-Acto knife go? That's weird. Could have thought I left it right here. Oh, well, anyway, we'll use our putty knife to help push in this new eye. And there we go. Good as new. Okay, we can see over here that somehow, probably while he was in that landfill, his hand got broken off and this steak knife got somehow wedged in there. Now, it's stuck in there pretty good, so we're going to have to use some heat to loosen up the plastic to be able to pull it out. Fortunately, I've got my acetylene torch handy for just this purpose. All right, kids, make sure to always wear safety glasses when you do stuff like this. All right, let me go under my workbench to turn on the acetylene, and we're ready to... where's my torch handle? All right, well, we'll wrap it up for now, but make sure to smash that subscribe button so you don't miss next week's unboxing episode where we open this weird puzzle box I got from a guy with a bunch of pins stuck in his face.
Dude, I would totally subscribe to that channel.
Yeah, you brought it right up to current day, man. Well done.
Yeah.
Modernized it.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. This is where we are in the YouTube generation now with this movie Child's Play 2.
I need to take this as a pitch to Mark Rober. He should fictionalize his own channel.
Sure. Yeah, put some story in there.
Exactly this. He should get haunted.
Yeah, I like it. And then some other channel who chases ghosts, they should try to figure out why he's haunted. That'd be great. Let's cross this stream.
I mean, the word haunted is right for Child's Play 2, right? This is just sort of.
Is it haunted or to this?
It's possession.
I mean, possessed, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's more like demonic possession trope, I guess. I don't know. Child's Play movies have always been a little confusing to me because... if you're going to be put, well, I haven't seen the first movie. So what's the origin of him getting into the doll in the first place?
Oh, super. Yeah. That was actually, you haven't seen the first one. The first one is great. I look forward to you. Oh, really? Both you guys should check it out.
This was my very first of any Child's Play movie viewing.
Same. Interesting. Same. So the first one, there is a strangler serial killer, named Charles, and he is running from a detective who is chasing him. He ends up in a toy store. And is shot, and so as he is passing away, he transfers his body to a Chucky doll or Good Guy doll, and using a voodoo incantation that he knew. So instead of going to hell, he transfers his spirit into that. Ends up being in the back alley of a street somewhere where the Chucky doll ends up, and everybody's looking for one that year. And someone picks it up, sells it to Andy's mom or Andy's mom's friend. And this is how the whole thing starts. So he literally transfers his spirit and soul into this Good Guy doll, which is.
Gotcha. We talk about sequels and how some of them need the backstory and some of them really, really don't. And I feel like this is one that doesn't. I genuinely felt like the first movie could have been anything. And this movie is just fine. Like, seriously, the first movie could have been a Vietnam War movie. And this movie makes perfect sense. Like, off we go, you know?
Right. Yes and no. I mean, you've seen the previous movies, right?
I saw the first one when I was a teenager at a Halloween party. Mm-hmm. It was one of those first, like, well, I had a friend who had a Halloween party every year starting when we were about 15. And the first year we watched... Gosh, what was the first?
Nobody pays attention at those parties, though, right? You're there for the girls.
And... Right. I don't know. My set, I remember my little crew of people sitting on the floor of her living room paying attention to it was The Haunting was the first movie.
Oh, that's a good one.
And then the next year we watched the first Child's Play. And man, this was
y'all went up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, because between 15 and 16, your tastes get they grow very fast. But my memory of watching, like, I've only watched it the one time, and my memory of watching it was, doll gets possessed, kills everybody, but doesn't really have this kind of personality that he has in this movie at all. Like, I don't remember. You tell me, Brian, what did the first Child's Play?
No, right. You don't see him as much in the first one. And really, I mean, they really upped their game a lot, because the first one, the doll wasn't that animated, especially in the facial features. So this one, you get a lot more of that. However, I must say the first one's reserves the scariness a lot more. So it's a lot of anticipation
from the trailer. Cause I watched the trailer right before I watched this, just to kind of get an idea of the evolution. And I kind of agree with you, Randy. I mean, maybe you don't need the first movie to be able to appreciate this one. I think it would have helped and kind of known that backstory, but really, I mean, you know, it's a possessed doll.
I think it helps. I'm sorry. I think it helps with the Andy character more than anything.
I think so too.
A pretty simple
right,
character.
Because this would have been one of those, we joke about this all the time, but the movies where the sequel's opening credits are kind of like a rehash of what happened in the previous movie.
Right.
And or even before the credits, you get kind of like a little flashback kind of thing. This would have been at least good for, all right, what happened to Andy's family? Because it wasn't until I went back and looked and said, oh, okay, mom's in a mental institution. I thought mom might have died in the first.
Yeah, they kind of didn't play that very well.
Really glossed over it quickly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah. Yeah, it's like,
and you don't really understand why Andy is so freaked out about the doll if you didn't see the first one. I mean, you kind of understand on the surface. It's like, oh yeah, kid had nightmare about a doll and he's kind of apprehensive about it. But I mean, there's a lot different than that. Their backstory is quite intense.
Well, I assume just watching this, because again, I haven't seen the first one either, I thought maybe he's just bounced, like the first movie was his first bouncing around between foster families or something. Like he's always been on his own. Like,
no,
I really didn't get that part, or it didn't sink into me that, oh, this is in the aftermath of his actual family being, you know.
Right. He lived with a single mom who had a best friend, and it was just this constant not believing the kid. And the police didn't believe the kid. The mom didn't believe at first, but eventually she was brought around. So I think that should have been rehashed. Well, you're right. I think that might have helped some. Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I want to say about the first movie that I feel is really interesting and fun is that it stars Chris Sarandon, you know, Prince Humperdinck from Princess Bride. And he's just really good. Like, this is a guy.
Yeah, he does a good job.
That you know, you can't look away from. You can't look your ears away from, of course, Brad Dourif, who is the voice of Chucky in both of these movies. It's just like, I was so thrilled when we turned on Child's Play 2 and it said it was starring Brad Dourif as the voice of Chucky. I was just like, yes, Grima Wormtongue is the perfect human being for this thing. Maybe second only to Andy Serkis in terms of potential with his voice, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think this one doesn't enjoy a very high rating.
No,
it's
no.
not as popular as the others. And I think I know why. It's kind of this one plays it kind of straight. Mm. They don't have anything outlandish. Even the first one seemed kind of outlandish in the way things were portrayed. This one kind of seemed like the characters acted kind of like we would in a horror movie. Mm. And we've talked about this before. If
I don't know, if I wouldn't be a dick foster parent, if you're
I would.
Come on. You're the worst.
The big suspension of disbelief. The big thing you have to give up on is not actually thinking about the supernatural stuff. It's thinking about the natural stuff. You have to forget that people would, you know, you have to convince yourself that people would blame the kid even though it's obvious that there's some other force at work here, right? Yeah. All of that, all of those misunderstandings, you know, there's a bunch of sitcom misunderstandings.
Oh, they drive me crazy. It may as well be Jack Tripper in a room with a girl and everyone thinking they were doing it. Like, it's that same kind of notion where the parent or the foster parent walks in right as he's standing there. The doll has got freaking stealth rolls, advantage rolls, and the kid's standing there with a freaking electric knife. And you're like, you've been in here all night doing shit? Like, my gosh.
Garrett Graham, the foster dad. Yeah. Oh, man. His look on his face. I love when he was coming down the steps and he's all complaining at Andy. And then that look on his face when he gets tripped up. He just makes the best fall.
He made a pretty good fall.
Yeah. He's a big time character actor, like lots of appearances and stuff, huge long list of appearances, and I'm sure we'll talk about one of those later on.
Aren't they mostly horror movies, his stuff, or am I
mostly horror movies, but a lot of sitcoms, lots and lots of television.
Interesting. Right. Oh yeah, here he is.
I found that the way they wrote Chucky in this one, I found it unlikely that Chucky would have went out and tried to get Andy, and that he would try so hard to not be seen by the parents. I mean, to the Toy Story level of not being seen, like trying to kill Andy at school and then returning home and putting himself back in the same spot in the basement. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that really wouldn't be necessary to convince the Simpson family.
Right. And especially if it's the soul of a vicious serial killer who likes to kill people.
Yeah.
Like, I was a little annoyed by that because, like, he would have gotten his way if he had just killed everyone else in the house first and then focused on the kid, right?
Yeah. Right, right.
Plus he would, I mean, there's the one piece of this that you always have to put behind you, probably the reason I ever watched it in the first place, and it's this park your brain to the door thing of that doll has enough core strength and center of gravity to do anything. Like, you know what I mean?
Like the only way you would be in trouble is if you actually offered him a piggyback ride.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. That's the only time. But like otherwise, I mean, it kicks a lot when it's on you, but really, come on. No one should be dying to that thing ever.
But don't you, I mean, I fell for the conceit, which is a horror movie trope, a standard in horror movies, that the supernatural embodiment going on there had supernatural real world abilities. Like I would have gone with Chucky, I don't know, blinking or something. Like it didn't bother me that he was a really super strong. Like it bothered me a tiny bit that Chucky felt pain. I was like, why has he got a nervous system? But
because he's turning human. That's the thing. He's running out of time.
Mm-hmm. So it just kind of, I just feel like that's a thing. Like, it's, you know, Sacktober and we're watching horror movies and you have to put yourself.
I really feel like this movie, which weighs in at an hour and 24 minutes, did not get a chance to take his time at all. And so they were just trying to really speed through the first formula, which is the kid knows that Chucky's after him and he's trying to convince the parents and the adults won't listen. And I think we could have probably just pitched that part of the story because we've already played that in the first one. Like you said, just murder and mayhem, I think, which is what they did in part three, I believe.
They had several minutes of edits. This could have been a longer movie. But it looks like all the film they had was of like gory, attacky things. And they didn't have more like acting, which is too bad. Because like this movie could have used a little more exposition, you know. It's funny to say that, but like it could have gone for some more back and forth between the parents and the Kyle character and so on to like give you more of a sense.
Poor useless Kyle. What was she good for? I hated that for Kyle because it kind of gave Andy a little bit of a. It kind of made him feel like he was a little bit stronger because we had that Kyle character here. So is it Kylie or is it Kyle?
Kyle.
Kyle. I thought so. I couldn't remember.
Yeah. Kyle. Oh, I totally remember.
I thought at first was a young Julie Bowen from Modern Family and then realized, that's the brunette from Beverly Hills 90210 that joined.
True.
Christine Elise. That's where she's from. I couldn't place it and I didn't look it up, but
Not just the garbage season. I was shocked to realize that she was hanging out as a sort of background character for a while in 90210.
Before they made her regular cast.
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy. I didn't know who that was, and for the life of me, for a while there, I thought she was what's her name in the one from the movie where she had the short hair, and it was a John Hughes movie, and it was he worked on Cars.
Some kind of wonderful. You thought Mary Stuart Masterson?
Yes,
was who that was.
Yes, that's who I thought at first.
And to be clear, we're talking about an actress named Christine Elise.
Yeah,
and she's actually gotten work like. This movie was not the death sentence that they often are, right? These throwaway horror movies, but she's still working today.
Yeah, she did all right. She has let's see here. Where did I know her? There was something else prominent that I'd seen that she's in that I'd forgotten I'd seen, and now I can't find it. But anyway, she did all right and has really short, cool hair and seems cool.
That's what
did you guys recognize our Logan's Run actress, the mother.
It is
Jenny Gutter. Yeah.
Oh, holy cow, she was
Jessica in
Jessica 5 or 6 or whatever her name is. Yes.
Yeah.
Holy cow, I didn't
by the way she is our she is our
I didn't know it until I went and read it.
She's our MCU connection. She's the foster mom in this, and she's the head of the World Council thingy they have in Avengers. That's her in that. So, well done.
She's also one of the stars of Call the Midwife, a show that I refuse to watch, but I understand it.
Well. Oh, wait. Call the Midwife is British? No.
British, yeah.
Oh, I did see some of that. Yeah, it's all right. My wife likes it. It's okay. It's got Vanessa Redgrave in it. What else can he ask for there? That's fine.
Yeah.
Now we talked about if we had seen the first Chucky. Now we've all seen Child's Play 2. Randy has seen Child's Play 1. Have you guys watched any other Child's Play at all? Did you say? I couldn't remember.
No, I have not seen. This is the only Child's Play thing I've seen. Not that it's really,
Right.
I figured stuff out pretty darn quick, and I've seen the Chucky doll in every single pop culture.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I feel like I've assumed so much about it, and I was actually right about it, because there's so much about this that's cookie cutter, and I don't mean like it's not, the idea of a possessed doll getting mainstream horror success isn't necessarily cookie cutter, but I know looking at it what's going on.
What here. You're getting.
It's a
right?
doll,
you know what you're
he's
getting.
Possessed, oh my gosh, a doll just killed a guy, the doll is a murderer, it's also edgy, and the doll swears a lot, like... All of these things as they were happening in this movie, I'm like, oh, yeah, this all matches what I had.
Right. So you guys didn't catch the first three, which were Child's Play 1, 2, and 3. And then you haven't called anything of Chucky then.
By all accounts, the third one was the worst. So I can't imagine ever choosing to watch.
I think three has moments. That are this one, Child's Play 2. I thought the same thing. I thought 3 was my least favorite, but after going back and watching 2, I really feel like this one just skated so conservative that there was nothing that really stood out. I mean,
it's also the shortest,
everything
of them
was
all,
telegraphed. Yeah, it was very short. And as a matter of fact, I kept thinking. Even like all the marketing, it's like the posters, like, sorry, Jack, Chucky's back. And you look at the trailer and it's like, who's Jack? And it's like, there's a Jack in the Box reference. And I'm like, what does that even have to do with the film at all?
Yeah. Just the fact that, he'll destroy other toys.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what rhymes? Sorry, Jack, Chucky's back. Yeah. And it's a Jack in the Box. It's a
they
toy.
Should have had him like coming through a, door, like Nicholson in The Shining. Right.
Oh, I like
right.
And they could have kept the same tagline.
Yeah. Why not? Right. I mean, this guy who created all this, by the way, his name is Don Mancini. So I did some looking up on this dude. He wrote all of it, everything about Chucky from day one until the most modern thing. So let's talk about Don Mancini. Sorry, there was a little glitch there. Everybody listening to this at home, that's why this sounds odd and awkward right now. But anyway, so Don Mancini, he created this character and everything around it. And everything they've done since day one of Chucky until today, that's Don Mancini's life.
Yeah.
And this would be like, George Miller doing nothing but Mad Max, or some other director. You know, if all we ever got out of George Lucas was Star Wars and nothing else, there was not that anything else he did mattered much, but you know what I mean? Like, that would be like this guy. This guy is so dedicated to the world of Chucky the doll that this is his entire focus, his career. That's it. That's all it is. I don't know. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it's interesting because like he could have gone and said, well, I'm going to parlay this success I've had with Chucky the doll, and now I'm going to move on to my next big horror idea that I've had in my head for a long time. No, he's like, I'm locked in. It's all about this doll, and I'm going to see it through. And there's something weird and admirable about that.
You know that his life is just every day 100% Chucky, right?
Right.
Every day.
All Chucky, like, all the time. Today? Yeah. Imagine waking up in the morning and going, all I do is that. It's just Chucky.
I mean, I think it's really cool. And I think it's really cool because this is a very different kind of brand than we were talking about with Gremlins, where Gremlins, there's enough variety going on that they got ripped off a lot. You know, we talked about all the different movies.
And Munchers.
With Child's Play, this is a very specific thing, this Chucky character. And I looked and looked, and as far as I can see, it only really got ripped off one time. And that was someone in 91 tried to make a movie called Dolly Dearest, you know, like the doll.
What about Annabelle? Don't really consider that
it's not a ripoff like all the Gremlins ripoffs. You know what I mean? Like it's
a possessed doll.
There's there's not like Chubbies or something, you know? Yeah.
Ducky. Child's Play is kind of, and wouldn't even say ripoff, but it is definitely inspired by like the Twilight Zone talking Tina and stuff like came before.
Without a doubt, Child's Play itself is borrowing a lot of the tropes of the form, right? Like we could talk for hours about all of these different things where even in this movie, which is a sequel, they are clearly looking at a list of what does this movie need to have? You know, like we have the ever increasing boss fights and so on, like all those horror tropes. Like, and I love that. I'm really happy that the character is so unique, you know, that we get to have Chucky and not a bunch of ripoffs.
Were y'all disappointed at any point in time, especially being first time viewers of the series? Were y'all ever disappointed that whole warehouse full of good guy dolls, he didn't like find some way to like mass
turn them all into monsters?
I honestly thought they might, but then I thought they don't have the budget for that. Isn't happening.
Mm-hmm. Maybe in the reboot. I don't know if it. I don't know if you guys have seen the reboot.
The Cult of Chucky, maybe. I haven't seen that one yet, but I mean, I've seen a few of the of Chuckies, but I haven't.
Cole, can you tell me real quick, what is the synopsis of Cult of Chucky? What's the point of that thing?
Take a look at that one. Like I said, I haven't seen that one yet. That's one of the.
Because if that's just a whole bunch of people that are just like worshiping the legend of the doll.
Yeah, worshiping. Yeah, I think that was the pitch.
That sounds ridiculously bad.
Oh, but Bride of Chucky sounds like high theater.
Yeah, that sounds like high theater.
Bride of Chucky sounds like it's going to be great because it sounds like a filmmaker trying to expand and trying to establish another character. Clearly, it didn't work, right? You can now that we have hindsight, we can tell, Bride of Chucky didn't become anything, didn't become her own series or whatever.
When was that? 98?
At least they were trying.
Can I read the first line of the plot from the Wikipedia? Four years after the events of Curse of Chucky, an adult Andy is back. He's Andy throughout this thing. Still has the head of Chucky, which is conscious and deformed after being repeatedly tortured by Andy in retribution for his crimes. Yeah. I'm in. I want to watch Cult of Chucky.
Mm. So Andy keeps Chucky's head, just keeps torturing it.
I guess comes by and just pokes in the face some. I got
a crappy day. I'm going to go kick Chucky's head around the house.
Listen to this cast, though, for a second. We got, so Bride of Chucky. I just stumbled upon the cast. Jennifer Tilly, Brad Dourif, of course, is back. Catherine Heigl, Nick Stable.
Oh, wow.
Let's see. John Ritter before his death.
Yeah.
Like what a weird
You should
cast.
Have looking a problem child, which was basically
that's hilarious. I didn't think about the connection. True story.
That one guy was Chucky.
I forgot.
I will tell you this. I tell you this about the Child's Play 2, though. I was impressed with the facial
animatronics.
Animatronics was just fantastic in this one. Leagues ahead of other stuff.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, like two movies in a row here. We've pretty good puppetry going on,
right?
And
puppetry that really improved based on what I've seen in the trailer. Puppetry that really improved over the first.
Right, right. It really did. And I love when Chucky's in the classroom, and they have him come directly out of the closet, and they got him on a rail. You can't really see the rail, but you know there's a rail there. The way he's walking, and he just kind of comes at you. That was actually pretty effective.
So do you think it'd be more effective, though, if the doll was less facially animated and more just deadpan, you know, creepy? Like,
I think we've already done that before. That's been done a million times. I think the fact that it was so animated makes it really stand out.
I don't know. It stands out, but it doesn't scare me. Like, that's one thing I wrote in my notes. The number one thing of this, my number one note was, none of this is scary.
Well, okay, so this is always something I always talk about. So let's get down to it. How did you watch this? Was it on your iPhone at 3 p.m? No, it probably wasn't scary. When did you watch it, and how did you watch it?
I watched it on a 32-inch screen, a television screen.
Right.
But
in the dark?
At a computer station, though, because I got to capture stuff. I see plenty of things that way that scare me.
By yourself?
Huh?
By yourself?
Yeah, by myself. Coming in and out? All by myself.
Okay.
There's nothing. This movie's not scary. It's just, it's just silly, and I laughed quite a few times. I never went, "Oh, this! I'm actually creeped out right here." It never gets me.
I want to differ on that because I did have some genuine scares in the movie, and it's because I think I went along for the ride of the world. The world of this movie is a massive trope. It's so freaking ridiculous. But if you give into it. And you're in this world where these big toy company 18-wheelers come screaming by all the time. Mm-hmm. Right. And everyone seems to work in the same industrial park. And you know what I mean? Like houses are all three stories and have a basement and so on. Like, it's a ridiculous freaking world. But as soon as you give into it, like, that, man, it's a playground for you to get scared, you know?
I think the movies that have suffered the most from our distracted lives is horror movies. I was watching Trick or Treat, which we've done here on Film Saturday. Yeah. I was watching this past
great Halloween movie.
Right, with Zoe, my 13-year-old, and my fiance. And both of them were constantly looking at their phone. And I just dared them to say after the movie that wasn't scary, because they were just kind of halfway watching it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm like, no, with a horror movie, you have to give all in, like Randy was saying. I mean, if you don't give all in, it ain't gonna happen. You ain't gonna get hypnotized. It just ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work. But
trying to think of another genre that is really hurt by, you know, the iPad in your lap generation kind of thing. And
right, because horror movies
aside from foreign films where you miss all the, you know, all the subtitles.
Maybe, but look, I don't know if any of this is true. I watched the scariest movie I've seen to date in my lifetime. I watched on an iPad with headphones on, and it disturbed me so bad.
Oh, that's pretty good. Headphones, iPad, that's like in your face. You're locked in. That's
what I'm
good,
saying. Isn't? Like, I can do that and get maybe even more out of it than I would if I was sitting in a theater surrounded by people. Like, I saw Hereditary that way, that thing haunted me for months, still does.
And because you couldn't use your iPad at the time to look up IMDb and say, oh, where have I seen that actor before, and that sort of thing, which it, you know, does take you out of the film. It's like, okay, that's reminding me that that's an actor and that well, there's really no danger.
It can, but it depends on where you're watching it. Like, I watch that on Prime, so it has that built-in stuff.
Oh, X-ray.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Okay. X-ray crap. Thanks a lot, Prime.
So I can just hit pause and go, oh, yeah, right. I know her from this. But that didn't take anything away.
That's a major problem for me, because lots of times in movies like that, they're literally trying to get you to get closer to the screen when they're going to have something scary happen. And they'll also show things like in the background moving around, and it's just enough out of your peripheral vision to kind of give you a feeling of unease. And when you lose that, it's hard to be scared. I mean, when you're just glancing over at Chucky, he's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous idea.
I think it's ridiculous. I think we're giving this way too much credit. Chucky's ridiculous on all formats. Yeah, look, I don't care if you're looking at him.
It's on a, I'm not saying that. But if you were actually locked in a house with a animated doll that was actually walking around and his face was all scrunched up and yelling crap at you.
Oh, no, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I'm just saying that the portrayal of this in this film, and I can only go by this one because I haven't seen the others. They don't ever achieve like a level of parody with real life with that or real life scare for me at all. Not even close.
Right, right, right.
And when I grew up, there were all kinds of dolls in my house that gave me the shits.
And like, the weakness of this film, like I said, is not allowing you to connect close enough to Andy because he's the one that is truly being threatened. And if you're not connected with Andy, then you can't.
Yeah, but he never looked it. He always looked like a kid actor who wasn't scared at all at anything that was happening. He would always
wasn't because he'd already went through the first one.
Right. And you're supposed to be seeing PTSD.
Yeah. Okay. He's already experienced this. He knows that the adults aren't going to believe him, but he's still got to try. He knows that he can only do so much against Chucky, but you know, yeah. So
This could have used some of that Spielberg's Good with Kids magic. Where,
oh my God!
Yeah, right.
During the series, since you've seen most of them, Brian, does Andy become a killer because of all of the trauma that he's had over his life because of Chucky?
He certainly had enough of it. Obviously, I haven't seen The Cult of Chucky yet, but the fact that he is torturing.
That would be kind of the natural succession, right? Is that the next movie? You know. Andy becomes the serial killer. Yeah. Just says, "Oh, this sucks."
Of course, he's got what choice does he have? He's Andy the serial killer.
Well, I mean, that seems like a natural thing, and they've done this in other movies. Or it's basically the Sarah Connor method, right? Where you're the innocent, quiet, like just going about your life, person, but this thing has so changed you utterly that you become this massive. Obsessed part of the story moving forward in its sequel.
I want to sign on to Scott's idea for the Kyle character to become Sarah Connor in the third movie.
Yeah, why not?
She makes some cameos as the original character, I think, in Cult of Chucky or one of the other.
Yeah, she comes in some Chucky's. Other ones. Yeah.
She comes back.
Yeah, I think here's my point though, and I don't know if we're gonna get some argument on this from people at home and maybe you guys, but I don't know that there's a way to make Chucky actually scare me. In a modern way, I don't know what you'd do. Cause to me, it's always just a shit doll and who gives a shit. And it's not that hard to run away from a doll.
Like, it's kind of what Randy touched on. They really need to up the ante on the superhuman abilities because he's demon possessed instead of serial killer possessed, you give him something that's got a little bit more of a demonic.
And the way you're going to have to scare somebody is, of course, like we've done in plenty of movies, like Monkey Shines does a great job of putting you in the place of someone who is in a wheelchair and unable to run from something like that, or Misery, where the character is hobbled. So, I mean, you really need something
that works better. You're right.
So you really need that. Because the kid, Andy's pretty capable. I mean, he's pretty capable. And then you put Kyle in there. That makes him, you know, he's got a pretty good crew there. Mm-hmm. You know, he's pretty safe.
Yeah, I agree. There's how you do it. It becomes a little torture porny because that's what those movies are eventually.
Right.
And they get to a point where somebody can't move and now we're going to make terrible things happen to them. That's inherently uncomfortable and can create a certain kind of horror movie tension. So sure. Maybe in that context, but the whole time I'd just be going, it's a freaking doll, dude. Freaking just throw it across the room. Who gives? Like, the dolls are stupid.
I mean, you could instantly create more tension. I mean, just from character and story writing. I mean, if we took Joanne and Phil Simpson and made them, badasses and a lot more harsh on Andy so that he would be punished every time Chucky but they weren't hard. You know, they were just
kind of dicks.
Don't touch my Hummel figurines.
Right.
I mean, you weren't convinced that Garrett Graham was going to do anything. He's not going to do anything.
Yeah, he's not like a bad guy.
But it is the trope of, the parents are dicks. We got to kill them off. Or the foster parents.
There's
no investment because they're foster parents. Mm-hmm. If they were real parents and being dicks, they'd get their comeuppance in the end. It's like they'd be taught a lesson. But because they're foster parents, they're basically now, expendable.
I love hated one part of this movie that makes this one stand out, and it is the production facility where they're making the good guy dolls. I mean, this whole machine that is the manufacturing of the good guy dolls is a horror, right? It is scary, but yeah. It is stupid also because it's running on its own, which would have been fine if they had accidentally kicked it off, but we're supposed to believe that it's actually manufacturing dolls at night and one guy
sitting in a room watching monitors.
No. Yeah, that's not how manufacturing works. I hate to tell them, but
no, it needed to be just, you know, like an accident, like, you know, oops, we started the machine up and no one's here. And, you know, and now we have like a Lucille Ball moment where things are just falling off the, you know, the conveyor belt. That's what we needed.
Yeah, that would have been a better setup for that scene. You're right.
Right.
I just want to say though, that idea gives us the vignette at the beginning, which I enjoyed so much, which is just Greg German, Richard Fish from Ally McBeal, who has to take the doll home because he was told to stick it up his ass, and carries it out in a
truck
in a ridiculous thunderstorm and wind, which was obviously machine made wind. You could tell they had fans off to the side, and has to take the doll, calls his girlfriend from the car phone.
Yeah,
he forgot to bring the vodka. Like that is just the movie didn't need it, but the movie absolutely benefited from that whole thing.
Yeah, Chucky, right. I agree. That might be my favorite part of the movie because it gets kind of ridiculous in a fun horror movie tropey way. And I think if the movie had stuck to more of that and gone over the top, that's what this needs. For this to work for me, it needs to be over the top, ridiculous. The deaths need to be insane. It needs to be gorier. It needs to be all those things.
It played way too safe. That's what I was complaining about, that I couldn't quite articulate. It just played it way too safe.
I think this is a case of not being able to put yourself in the time frame, because at the time, the early 90s, I think this was way over the top. This was crazily over the top. And the fact is, now we've just seen, you know, we've seen too much.
We've seen too much. I like that idea too. I don't know, man. I think that we'd seen a pretty good bit even back during the 90s. I don't know. I did, like I said, it's probably to play it too safe. I mean, I didn't feel like Kyle really, I mean, she ran over Chucky once against the fence and then just sat there. I'm like, no. I mean,
she figured out the brakes and, like, you know, having to go through the window and
right. I'm like, you need to go big.
Yeah, go big or go home, basically. Mm-hmm. It's weird. One note here, it did open at number one at the box office, so did well. Didn't stay there very long, but it opened there. And some of my favorite trivia, like, I like this one. In the later seasons of Seinfeld, 1989, in which Grace Zabrinsky plays Mrs. Ross. So there's our Seinfeld connection. After playing Grace Poole in this film, she's the lady from, Brian, help me.
Oh, Twin Peaks. She's Laura Palmer's mom.
There you go.
Man.
Upset. She's always upset. That's what she does the best.
Right. She does. Yes. Plays the overly dramatic harried mom or grandmother or foster care.
Her time in Seinfeld was pretty great because she has that scene with her husband riding on the back of that rusty horse that's been eating beefarino, so it's just farting the whole time.
Oh yeah.
That's right.
They're getting all sick from it. It's awesome. Anyway, the copy of Child's Play 2 is in Jerry's apartment where he keeps his VHS tapes. So if you go watch an episode and you look real close, you'll see, you know, he's got a little Superman doll and his other stuff up there, and he's got a VHS copy of Child's Play 2. In a show where the mom is in your show, which is
crazy. And the one more connection is Garrett Graham, or as we like to call him, Bud T. Chud.
Yeah,
Bud T. Chud.
Have a look at his IMDb to figure that one out.
Yeah,
Garrett Graham played in the in one of the opera episodes, two parter, where Crazy Joe Davola is trying to get back at Jerry, dressed as the Pagliacci clown. Garrett Graham, uncredited other clown in that episode for some reason. Oh,
okay. We weren't sure yesterday, but we figured it out. Yeah. Okay. Well done.
I went back and looked it up. So he does play a clown in that episode of Seinfeld, but he's not Crazy Joe Davola.
You did some detective work there. Well done.
I did. Yes. Yeah,
tracking that down. That was
good. Alternate job. Clown number two.
Right. And Beth Grant was in this as well. She was always like her. She's always unnerving.
Which who is she?
Which
again?
One's Beth Grant?
Beth Grant, she played Miss Kettlewell, which is the she was the
teacher.
The teacher. I got that backwards.
Right.
Yeah.
Teacher. Yeah, she's got a way about her. I didn't recognize her. It's so funny. I do now, though. Like, I look at her face and go, oh, you're in all sorts of shit. We saw her in Speed. She was in Donnie Darko, No Country for Old Men, Little Miss Sunshine. Like, she's, oh, man. Talking about everyone's career in this movie, I think she did the best. Mm-hmm. Look at her. She's in everything that's good. Whereas some of those people, like Garrett Graham or Bud Chud or whatever, T-Bud Chud. He didn't necessarily have the same run as she did. But another bit here, we haven't talked much about him, but Brad Dourif, who does the voice for Chucky, we talked about him top of the show, but he did all this in advance for all the movies. So the deal was he would record it all first. And then Alex Vincent puppeteer dude would have to memorize that dialogue so well that he was having to sync it in the scenes. That's pretty impressive, actually.
Interesting. That is impressive. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's how you would do it. You'd have to do it with the voice work first, and then because otherwise you're sitting there with Brad Dourif in a screening room playing that scene over and over. Nope, still didn't match up right.
Yeah, it's like animation, same thing.
They wouldn't know in the moment while they're filming what the character is supposed to say.
Like exactly.
They need that sound to act against. I love that, but I hate it because it means you can't have ad libs, you can't punch anything up. You can only remove, right? Well, you can only cut.
But I really have this visual now of Brad Dourif sitting in a sound booth recording all the dialogue for all the Chucky movies all at once.
Yeah, that's what I thought you meant. I was recording
everything ahead of time. So it's like, hope you freeze on that for a while.
Yeah.
How do you like that piston in your face?
The funny thing is I'm coming off of a rewatch of the entirety of Deadwood and the Deadwood movie. And he plays Doc Cochran in that series and movie. And he's amazing. And it's really, really good role for him. So it was weird going from that to this because I'm immediately presented with this dude's voice again. But it's not where I've heard it for the last 3 weeks. That was a weird feeling. But he's great. I love Brad Dourif. That guy's amazing. He's Worm Tongue. He's freaking... Actually, don't we have we got a Lord of the Rings connection? I wrote down. Oh yeah, Brad Dourif, voice of Chucky, and Worm Tongue. So there's your connection to Lord of the Rings. All right, I wanted to check into this director a little bit. His name is John Lafia, and he is known mostly for this
Child's
movie
Play 2.
And Child's Play. So he did the original, or he wrote the Child's Play 2019 movie. He died this year. So just barely in April.
No.
Yeah, passed away in April. But he's responsible for the 1988
Chucky finally
one.
Caught up with him?
Yeah, I guess so. He was did some stuff for Repo Man in the art department. And he was Man's Best Friends director in 93. I kind of remember that. It was like a Cujo kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that mess.
Bunch of Babylon 5 episodes. So, yeah, that guy. John Lafia, rest in peace. I don't know if it's the Rona or not. I hope not. The Rona can bite me.
April 29th, 2020.
Yeah, April's a bad month for Rona, so I'm just saying. I'm not saying that's what it was, but you never know. You just never know. All right. What else we have here? Oh, angry packing is my trope. In fact, I haven't played the trope yet, so I'm going to play it. The angry. I like it when somebody angrily packs. No matter what they're doing or what their reasons are, it's like, I got to get out of here. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to pack quickly and angrily.
They're throwing balled up shirts into a open suitcase.
Yep.
Yeah.
That one's pretty good. I also like the idea of old people always whispering so the kids can't hear them, but the kids still hears them, which is true, by the way. I remember lots of times my parents thought they were having a private conversation. I just totally heard it because they're.
And you sit on the other side of the door that you just opened in the kitchen that they just did not see move.
Yep. I also wrote a thing here about he feels pain, but I need some explanation for when you cut the arm off the doll, why is it different inside? If you're just possessing the doll, why are there guts and blood and like,
he's slowly turning human again. That's the idea.
Oh, is
right?
that the idea?
He's Pinocchioing.
Is he, right in here. Is he starting to grow a little Chucky in his pants?
Absolutely.
All right. So
is that,
wait,
is that Chucky in your pants, or are you just happy to see
is
me?
Is that the conceit that I didn't understand?
That's what they said in the movie.
Okay, I missed that part then, because I didn't understand that. I understand he'd be trapped in there, but I just figured it'd be doll form.
Right. And then just, but he's slowly morphing back into human, and then he's just going to be stuck. Stupid voodoo. Bad okay. voodoo, man. But bad that, voodoo.
That's a movie I'd watch, though.
Right.
Where he's in now.
By the way, really John Lafia, the director, died of suicide by hanging on.
Oh, geez.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's depressing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad I brought it up.
I'm so glad.
Or did the doll want to make it look like a
hair? Yeah. Most embarrassing death. I wrote copier death is embarrassing. Is what I wrote.
Right. Right.
Oh yeah.
You don't want to die and then slam your face on a copier.
More than shoving eyeballs into your eyes.
I mean,
I guess embarrassing.
That was a fun death, and I laughed because I just thought this is so stupid. I cannot believe they put the eyeballs in there, because they spent a lot of time sort of giving us fake eye porn in the first part of the movie where that guy got electrocuted. It was like, oh, this is going to come up later. Something with the eyes. And then sure enough, dude gets a couple of fake eyes jammed in his head. But yeah.
Is there a real fear of getting murdered by office equipment? We've seen Shredders last week on the Gremlins. And now this week, it seems like, you know, death by copier.
There's a thing, right? There's got to be.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. Like, what's the movie we saw in Nerdtacular that one year? The Stephen, I can't think of names today. Stephen King movie.
Maximum Overdrive?
Maximum Overdrive. Yeah. It's kind of in that vein, right? Like, oh, inanimate objects, which you normally just take for granted, are going to kill you. And by extension, we're all worried about AIs and stuff and Terminators, because it's kind of the same idea. The hardware comes to life and kills you. I think there's something to that. Sure. Yeah, why not? But you don't want that to be your death, because now there's like 80. She hit like the 80 button. And so when she died, she went plant her face, hit the make 80 copies button. And now there's all these pictures of her dying. Just shooting out in the room.
Her face, her horror face for somebody to find later.
Yeah.
But that's not how it works. The copy machine doesn't like take a picture and then just make a bunch of pictures. If you halfway through making those 80 copies, if you adjust the paper that's in there, it makes them with the new adjustment. Like, you can put your hand in there, move it. Da, da, da. She fell off that copy machine instantly.
I love the idea that to make that happen for the shot, there was a human being behind a wall that had a hole in it. And they were reaching into the copier and throwing pieces of paper out.
Yeah. This is true.
Right.
This is how this works, actually.
Oh, that's great. I love thinking about that. It's hilarious.
Yeah. That's the other thing, is malfunctions in funny ways. But Brian's right. The way the copiers worked, I mean, today, sure, you can scan an image and then reproduce
print
it.
Print out multiple quickly. Copies.
Sure. Yeah. Even some copiers do that now, digital copiers. But that one was not one of those. The year was 1990. And that thing wouldn't have worked that way. It would have been just one copy of her smearing her face down, and you're done. That's it. The rest are white.
You can feed the copier lady.
That's where I had my problem with the movie, was the way the copy machine worked. Also, when Andy gets on the school bus, the back row completely open? No, that's the first row that gets filled up on the school bus.
Exactly. Everybody loves the back row. Mm-hmm.
And then here's my problem. You have a teenager living in your house? And you don't know they're smoking until you see it with your eyes? No, wrong, false. Are you brain dead? You would know by your nose. You would have known a long time ago.
They're already the worst foster parents.
greatest.
There's also no such thing as a complete manufacturing space that does nothing but one doll. That just doesn't exist.
Sure.
And that's like the, where is that manufacturing place? That was like the bad side of Chicago, and it's like over near the dump, and it's just too.
Yeah.
Well, it's partially run by the guy who operates the forklift and arranges the dolls in the most confusing maze orientation.
Yep.
Yeah.
Although I had to marvel a little bit at what that must have cost. If you're on a low, even if you're on a small budget, like, you had to recreate all of this imagery, have every box stacked in a real warehouse somewhere, and then they all had to have Chucky faces on it. And there was something about that.
I was trying to see if some of it's matte. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was trying to see if it was matte or not. I couldn't quite
tell. Maybe some of
it was matte, and then they would actually just show the same thing from a different angle.
But today, you know, that scene would have devolved into all those dolls being kicked in and stumbling, naked, headless dolls, one arm off, that sort of thing. Like, they would have CGI'd the hell out of that, but 1990 wasn't having any. Yeah. What's weird is this feels 9,000 million miles away from Jurassic Park, yet it's only like 2.5 hours or 2.5 years later. Mm-hmm. That's just weird.
I think we can go ahead and coin that. I think that is the Jurassic Park frame of reference. We cannot help ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Never.
Like, if a movie came out between 90 and 96, we're going to compare it to Jurassic
Park. If it's got special effects in it, it's happening. Yep. We're talking about it.
Yeah. Pre-GP, post-GP.
Yeah. Yep. And everything that's pre, well, anything that's post that still relied on pre effects just really stuck out like a sore thumb.
Oh, yeah. Just those, like, people who made the movie at the same time as Jurassic Park and then they knew they had to release their film later that year, they were like, oh,
crap. It's a big deal. It's a big deal that it's easy to, well, I don't know. People of a certain age all, you know, will certainly look at Jurassic Park for the seminal film it was and the moment that it was in time, but I don't know. I think it's a, I think there'll be a time 20 years from now where people will even more specifically look at that as a divider and just say, yeah, it's everything. It's B. It's like ADBC. It's like before, what would it be? BJP and AJP.
Be careful.
I was having a hard time there. And
I don't know where you're going, but be careful.
Yeah. I had to watch my step a little bit there. All right. I also wrote here, I'd be way more freaked out about a movie about the real Chucky before he went to doll form. Oh, I know what I was thinking. I want a movie, this probably won't sell, but I want a movie that is just Brad Dourif doing dark shit. Like,
right. That's so the movie. It's his seaside strangler self, right? Yeah. Is the original murderer, which is what you would expect. Yeah.
I want that. I don't know why I want that. I just want that.
Yeah,
I think that'd be all right.
Well, it would make more sense with the Chucky doll then, because then you would have a frame of reference other than just a possessed doll. By the way, this is not just a small doll. A lot of times we talk about things that don't really scare us because, like, oh, it's just little bitty. But that Chucky doll, that's, you know, that's 3 foot of giant doll, right?
That's a big doll. Sure.
Big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like My Buddy. Wasn't that kind of based on the My Buddy?
Yeah,
craze?
My Buddy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was based on it, but certainly draws parallels. Stupid My Buddy.
Wherever
my
I buddy, go, he goes.
My buddy and me. Yep. He's stabbing me in the knee. My buddy.
Where did he get that butcher hook?
Oh, you guys are describing what I'd prefer over the real thing. Well done.
Do you guys ever wake up from a particularly memorable dream and make some notes so you don't forget it?
Always. When I can. I really do. I literally do that. So, because I think there's show material half the time. So I'll wake up and I'll go, oh, that was weird. I'll write it down and then I'll go back to sleep. And the next day I can't make sense of most of it.
I keep these in the notes app on my iPhone. And so I just, like, every now and then I scroll through note after note and I'm just like, what the hell? Why did I write that? But I actually have 4 years ago, I woke up from a dream and it was a really good idea. And it was the actor who played Grima should be a serial killer in that character's universe. And it should be a TV show made by Vince Gilligan. That's real specific. It should be a TV show made by Vince Gilligan, Lord of the Rings, Grima the Killer, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, I had this dream that was this show, and I think it would make a fantastic freaking show.
Oh, I'd watch
because
that.
Yeah. For Grima to do what he does in the Two Towers, which is where he kind of exists mostly, to move back and forth between the two countries that he moves between, mm-hmm. and so on. Mm-hmm. He needs to be killing people all the time.
Yeah.
He betrays people. They, you know, when they finally find him out at the hall of the King of Rohan, they find a bunch of bodies in his cupboard, you know, this kind of thing.
All right, sure.
Like, anyway, that's,
sure. I like where your head's at on that. I'd watch that. By the way, they're making a Chucky TV series. I didn't know that. That's happening next year, 2021. It starts. The pilot's done.
Joking about that in my opening, but are they really?
Yeah, this is actually happening.
I wonder if it's going to be like, remember the Friday the 13th series? I got all excited. I'm like, oh, cool, a weekly series about Jason. No, it's just some weird investigative thing. It wasn't anything about Friday the 13th, series.
Let me give you the series summation. Currently, Jennifer Tilly is coming back after her stint.
Oh, it's Bride of Chucky. Yep. Yeah.
And Brad Dourif.
She just has her poker career that, you know, sidelined for a little bit.
Of course, Brad Dourif will be back. But it says here, after a vintage Chucky doll turns up at a suburban yard sale, an idyllic American town is thrown into chaos as a series of horrifying murders begin to expose the town's hypocrisies and secrets.
Yeah, now that sounds good, because when you have hypocrisy, you have comeuppance.
Yeah.
So that's good.
And when you have comeuppance, you have a false sense of satisfaction. So I'm excited.
Right.
By the way, here's this. The acid, the acid looked like puke to me. Or the hot plastic, whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, the hot plastic acid. Yeah, that was
like somebody ate too much, like a 5-year-old ate too much peanut butter and ralphed in the car. That's what that looked
right.
like.
That's the yeah.
Not into it.
Yeah, that was not a that was none of that was OSHA approved. That was no. That whole place was bad news.
Yeah, everything about that factory. I mean, it was it. I think it's the best part of the, if I'm going to say what part of the movie worked the best.
It's the part that stands out the most.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And I like a place out of control kind of vibe. And there's something about a little place where for some reason the arms and legs are assembled inside of a small enclosed death box. Like,
yeah.
They go to the top and they go, can't see what happens here.
Yeah. And there's a conveyor belt where the doll lays on its back and then arms squeeze the head to put the eyes in.
Yeah.
The conveyor belt's big enough for a full-sized human to be in there.
Yeah, for an adult male to get in there. Exactly.
I didn't understand that whole how hard is it to put eyes into a doll? I don't understand why it needs like a
whole big hydraulic machine to be able to jam them in there.
Yeah. I mean, basically we know how this would really go in real life. It'd be a bunch of underpaid, Malaysian children on assembly popping stuff in there,
shoving eyes into a doll. Yeah.
But there is this, there is a certain kind of anxiety that comes with automation. So when you've got a machine that is just pounding parts into products or whatever, like these eyeballs, and it does it with such force, it's like anything like an Indiana Jones thing where the guy's heading toward the grinder. Oh no, is he going to get sucked in there or not? Like you set yourself up for some fun set pieces. I just think this movie could have gone further because really it was the death box and the goop. And then me asking how many times are you allowed to have a villain come back in your movie? How many times is allowed? Yeah. Actually, let's talk about that. How many times do you think is too many times? What's the upper limit? Because he came back like 5 times.
We were talking about demonic possession.
I agree with Ryan. I agree with Ibbot. Two. Why two, would you say?
Because, all right, you got to have the initial comeback because you're always expecting the initial comeback. And then you should have a long pause, a little exposition about, thank God that whole threat is over. And we got him because he came back and we fortunately got him, the second time. And then you need the third comeback. But you don't need the eyes opening at the end of the credits or anything like that.
Yeah. I think it depends on the story and the layout of everything. Yeah. Because there are definitely villains that just keep coming back again and again and again. I'm thinking of you, Stefano DiMera, and it's fine.
Stefano DiMera.
Yeah. Days of Our Lives.
Days of Our Lives.
If it's a demonic possession, I think I'm fine with as many times you want.
Me too.
Yeah.
Because it gets expected and boring after a while. It's like you just expect them to come back.
I'm trying to think of one that
sometimes they come back.
What's one we really like? Because they all do. We mentioned Terminator. Those all do it multiple times.
We're talking about all in the same movie, right? Like not coming back in the sequel or
Xenomorphs are surprisingly agile. They always come back. You're like, oh, we got it this time. No, just kidding. They hid in the thing. They're like cats.
Yeah, I mean mostly even in the final act, like your final act, multiple deaths of the villain where you think you're done. And this happened sorry to break open the cheese here, but we're actually doing we already know what we're doing for our film next week. That movie had one of those too. The House basically did it twice.
Yeah.
So, I'm just going to say it. As a general rule, Ibbot is my vote is Ibbot's idea. Two is enough. The third death, you're dead. Mm-hmm. Or dead enough to work on your sequel and then somehow you have a reason they came back. That's fine. I don't care about that. But I really dislike a movie more and more these days where I just know they're going to show me some final scene where the hand pops out of the ground and then roll credits. Like I don't need to know that he made it. I know he made it because you're making a series of films and you don't have to cram it down my freaking throat. I don't know why this bothers me so much. It shouldn't bother me.
It bothers a lot of people. It bothers a lot of people. You're not alone.
Yeah.
I think it's so fun. I don't think I want them to do it repeatedly. Like once you like establishing that a character lives after death is something that you can do with one death and rebirth. Mm-hmm. So I don't need you to do it over and over and over. But if someone's just hard to kill and their name is
Jason Voorhees.
Stefan
Voorhees.
Like there's so many characters that are just hard to kill.
Yeah.
Then I'm totally fine with you reminding me that they really haven't actually been killed. Like I think that's fun.
I have no number. And I mean, I'm okay. Even if I watch the movie, I leave the movie, I'm in my car and I'm riding home and there's another jump scare. I'm fine with that. Mm. It just keeps scaring me all the way home. Just, you know, the next morning I wake up, movie's not over. Just kidding.
It can be done. It can be done. I recommend the movie's got an unfortunate name right now, but there's a movie from like 08 or something called Quarantine that had the sister from Dexter in it. I always forget her name.
Jennifer Dexter.
Anyway, it was this really great kind of zombie, but also we're trapped and they're not letting us out kind of movie. And that movie is still worth watching, even though I'm about to provide the spoiler I'm going to give you, which is nobody survives that movie, including our main characters who you think are going to survive, and they don't. Everyone dies, roll credits. Sometimes I like that because then I feel like the risks and the stakes were real and they mattered. And in the end, it rolled the wrong way for some people, but that was how it was. And there's no like sudden figure it out. Now, that doesn't mean I don't want things like, you know, The Evil Dead, where I almost said Nash. Where Ash, where Ash rises out of all of this. So you don't even know he's going to be that character. Like in the beginning of that movie, you think one of these girls will be the survivor or maybe this other kid or whatever. You don't think Nash is going to, or Ash, sorry. But he does. In the end, he does. And I kind of like that. I like when one guy survives and then I like that they keep going. Like all of these things we're talking about can be done right. I just don't think Chucky did it right. That's all. It just felt wrong
to know,
me.
I think I, and maybe it's, the perspective I grew up on of people complaining that, you know, they could never kill, like, you know,
Freddy Krueger is a good example.
They keep coming back. And during that time when they kept coming back, people were rolling their eyes going, oh God, come on. But I think they won me over eventually. I go in, I'm like, I'm fine with that. Just keep bringing them back. They keep coming back.
All right. That's fine. Obviously it works because people go back and
it works.
Get nostalgic for it and go see sequels. And so it's not like they're, you know, this is actually working what you're liking. So it's fine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's totally fine. Hey guys, let's talk about Hawthorne. Oh, Hawthorne. They're a premium tailored personal care brand that makes it easy for guys to feel and smell their best, which I need to feel and smell well a lot. No, that's not true. I'm okay. But these guys really help me. If you're looking to take your self-care routine to the next level, Hawthorne helps you get really high-quality products tailored specifically to your needs. They give you free shipping on top of your order. So, if you decide you're not satisfied with your product, they've even given you a free shipping on the return and give you new suggestions based on your feedback. So, in case you got the shampoo and you weren't exactly happy with it, they'll hook you up. They'll get you covered. I took their quiz. You have to do that, right? This is the best thing about it, actually. You go in there, you take this very easy, cool graphical quiz, and then I answer these questions. Some of the questions were, how much do you sweat? Or what kind of, you know, how are you on colognes? And do you have a favorite right now? And like, basically, what kind of skin do you have? You have oily skin, dry skin, sensitive skin, that sort of stuff. And it was easy, super quick, simple. And the results told me the best products to get. So I did. And they've all been great. I really loved my experience with that. And I think you could too. So do what I did. Take the Hawthorne quiz today and get started on your personal self-care routine by going to hawthorne.co and use the promo code FILMSACK to get 10% off your first purchase. Super simple. That's H-A-W-T-H-O-R-N-E. That's hawthorne.co. and put in that promo code FilmSack, you're going to smell great, look great, and feel great. All right, let's get to some clips from this movie.
Yeah.
I didn't do tons, but I did enough, I think. Here's an example of somebody's stomach hurts. Check this out.
My stomach hurts, Mattson.
Okay, well.
Does your stomach hurt?
He's our chick in the bucket, probably.
What right? was in that taco?
I mean, we never really saw him again, the guy that was in charge, the CEO guy.
Or oh, yeah. The boss. Yeah.
He needed to get on, a phone call, and he just spends the rest of the movie talking on the phone.
On the phone, yeah. He's mm-hmm. our chick in the bucket. Yeah. All right, here's a really dumb scream. There you go. Wow.
That was the guy.
Lightning bolt toy builder.
So that lightning looked pretty cool despite it. I think what I liked about it is they also put smoke in there, so this overlay lightning actually kind of worked with the smoke well. I don't know, it was nice layering effect. All right,
I wish that we could get a hold of, whenever there's stuff like that, I really wish we could get hold of the pre lightning being added special effects. The guy just like
whoa! It's like when you see an MCU scene where it's just green screen everywhere.
Yes, right.
They're tumbling into pillows and stuff. It's like, what a stupid looking thing that is. We've just gotten so good at it. All right, here's what's this? Oh, where do you want me to put the doll?
What do you want me to do with the doll? Stick it up your ass.
Your ass.
Stick it up your ass.
Your ass. I like how he says that last bit.
Yeah, too.
Just something about the way he does it.
No, it hurts, sir.
Here's I wrote freaking opposite world with the money.
That's a gold card. That's just as good as cash.
Not here it ain't. We don't accept credit cards.
I don't carry cash, okay?
The total opposite today. And I don't just mean COVID time. I don't even mean COVID time. Like, no one does checks in cash anymore anywhere.
No.
I used to remember there was a period where I used to have to apologize because I was really the only person who used my debit card all the time. I had to apologize to McDonald's. Like, I'm sorry, I don't have any cash. I just got, I know it's $3, but.
Exactly. That is the point. That's where I always have to use cash. It's like, oh, I'll hit the ATM before I go to a fast food place because I don't want to be the guy who buys a Big Mac on a credit card.
Yeah. Now it's all flipped.
And now not only have we gone entirely to credit cards, but the pandemic has converted those last few holdouts who weren't just holding their phone an inch away from a receiver. Like now you don't even pull out a credit card. Like there's no item touching item anymore.
Yeah.
I don't even pull out my phone. I do the watch, the tap it and on the little reader. And I love it because
I don't even use that.
It
I just
feels
look
like
at
it's
them
the first time they've seen it. Like,
right.
I don't even do that. I just look at them and go, trust me. And then I just drive off. It's the best transaction.
Yeah. Transaction complete. I swear. That's amazing.
Bill me.
You have your money.
Brian Dunaway.
It's giving me a weird perspective on what money even is anymore. When you do stuff like that, it's just like, what did I even do? I tapped my watch. Did something happen? I guess it did. Do I trust it? I don't know. Maybe. Like, it's just a weird, we're living
in rarefied
times.
I'll tell you what makes me angry though.
On my wrist when it works. It's great.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing this pandemic has done to me. I went yesterday to a place to get an ice cream on a cone. They said, sir, we're sorry. During the pandemic, we don't serve cones. And I'm like, oh, shut up.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Shut up. Put
because
it on
they have
a
to
cone.
Touch you, because they have to touch your food?
And I'm going to say, that you, what do you? How's the rest of the food getting made? Don't give me that.
They're all wearing gloves now. It's like, what's the problem here?
Is this McDonald's again? Because I know on TMS a couple weeks ago, we had the diatribe about the ice cream machine always broken. Yeah,
this was Chick-fil-A. And I was like, come on.
Enjoy the following link because I gave this to David yesterday. I forgot who had brought it up. And it was
I've
you.
Gotten this a lot the app that tells you McDonald's ice cream machines are down. Love it.
Yes.
Just a website. But this guy, the guy basically hacked their internal API and is placing these fake orders that don't actually go through, but it's his way of finding out every minute throughout the country what percentage of ice cream machines are being reported as down. And it's a lot. Look at all those red dots.
Today I learned that Chick-fil-A has cones, though.
Oh,
well, they used to before the pandemic, and now they can't touch them.
Are you
sure? We can't serve cones.
I think you can get them.
What were you doing, licking them before? What do you just give me my cone?
Plus, they have a little paper base to them, right? Don't they have a little wrap around?
I know.
Yeah. That's fine.
Give me your BS.
It is BS. My wife said she talked to somebody who said that they're such a pain to fill and clean every day that some managers and are just like, we're just going to say it's broken because this isn't worth it.
That's all. Wow. But really, all I want is honesty. I just want to go, sir, we're not serving the soft serve ice cream anymore, sir. It's just too much trouble. I'd respect that. I'd be like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Don't lie to me. Because they're being
true. Yeah.
Broke.
Truth mm-hmm. always beats. Yeah. I would at least respect your reasoning. Mm-hmm. Because it does sound like a pain.
I'm really proud of Child's Play 2 for getting us here. I'm so proud.
Well done, right? In the clips and everything.
Here?
All right, here's something about a POS.
Now park this piece of shit.
Oh, that is some Doc Cochran business.
Pack it.
Mm-hmm. Al, you're not going to get any better unless you do what I say and lay down for a while. Now tell Trixie to bring it. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. All right, here's a funny sound. All right, that's him in the car. It's gone. All right. The teenage daughter, I guess. Or no,
Kyle.
Oh, sorry, Kyle. Yeah, this is Kyle. I started to conflate.
Whatever, Kyle.
I started thinking of the daughter in the other movie. It's my fault. All right, here we go. Check it out.
But I have a date tonight.
Uh huh. That sounds convincing.
Jeez.
I have a date
with my acting coach. Good one.
Don't miss that date. All right. I wanted
you
to
already
taste
missed
it.
Too many.
I don't remember what this means, but I wanted to taste it. Here we go.
I wanted to taste it.
Oh, it's just literally him saying I wanted to taste it. Gosh, dang it. I hate when I do that. I got to label those different.
What was he wanting to taste?
Oh, I think you labeled them perfectly.
Yeah,
that was exactly. Don't change a thing about how you do this, because it's always great to say, I don't know what this is. It's that was my foot.
There you go.
That was my foot.
That was my foot. Doing this for almost 11 years. All right. Here's a hateful child.
I hate you.
Okay. All right. And then there's this.
Whoa.
Ah. Okay. That's them playing on the.
Ah, stop it.
Whoa. Ah.
Ah. They're playing on the swing or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right. This is not how you pronounce Valium.
I'd rather Valium.
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 About it.
That Valium. That sounds like how you do pronounce Valium in California.
Is it?
Valium.
In the valley?
Yeah, in the valley.
Yeah.
Valium. All right, Doc Cochran / Wormtongue giving some talking here.
I got a new game, sport. It's called Hide the Soul. And guess what? You're it.
Al, you're going to die if you don't stop drinking. He's so great.
You're it. I realize when you take the visuals away and you give me just the sounds, there's too much sound in this movie.
Oh yeah, it's very soundy.
The kid complaining with the sock in his mouth bugs me just hearing it, you know.
Well, here's some more. Here's some kid acting 101 right here.
It's Chucky, look out.
Shut up, you make Phil and Joel.
Kill him.
Get him. Get the guy, get the doll.
No.
I wish Spielberg would have made this. He's better with kids. All right.
Same actor, Dunaway, like the kid who plays Andy in Child's Play 2. Is he the same one as the adults?
Yeah, but I haven't seen the Culto, so I'm assuming that he carries on, but I could be
what's his name?
Wrong about Andy? That. Alex Vinson is the kid's name. He plays Andy Barclay, and he definitely did the first and second and.
Oh yeah!
I don't think he
Justin Whalen. He's played by Justin Whalen in 3 and Gabriel Bateman in the reboot. But Alex Vincent 1 and 2, Curse of Chucky and Cult of Chucky.
Yeah, Andy, right. He played Andy in both those, so he's in Curse and Cult.
Because he was a teenager in the third one, I believe. So I guess he probably. I don't know if he was old enough.
His IMDb photo is him as a child being possessed, or with Chucky touching his head. So he's clearly not into like, hey, I want everyone to know about my job in the South of Central TV series or whatever.
You ever think about what your life history would be like if as a child you were in these really scary movies?
I mean,
that's weird.
I mean, it'd be weird for your kids, right? Like, okay, if Ibbot would have gotten the role he was supposed to get on The Shining.
Mm-hmm. It's the Shining.
You would have this amazing thing that you could say, well, here I am now, but check me out in this movie when I was three.
End up being a podcast.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a role that wouldn't have put him face to face with a lot of gore and scary stuff. Like this movie, the kid is like the lead.
Yeah. You know? I mean, he has to literally put a sock in his mouth and go. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Yeah, I think a lot of that, though, they don't. And like in a lot of kids, horror movies with kids in them, don't they film that stuff separately and they don't? It's all off camera.
Yeah, so the kid is not exposed to all these.
You can't film a sock separately. That thing is in that kid's mouth.
Yeah, but maybe yeah, it was.
The kid is tied to the bedposts. Like there's no faking that.
Yeah.
Well, I would freak out. And buy those cheap 90s jump ropes. Remember those? The plastic handles? Those.
Here's how you get a kid to calm down when you tie him down on the thing.
I've got a Valium.
Give him a Valium.
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 All right, the foster daddy sucks.
What the hell is this now?
It's Chucky. I told you he'd find me. He tried to take over my soul.
Andy, calm down.
Okay, dumb kid.
This auntie?
Won't get us killed.
Auntie.
Auntie. Auntie. Ooh, she did say like auntie. Hold on. Let me play that bit again.
What the hell is this now?
It's Chucky. I told you he'd find me. Tried to take over my soul.
Andy, calm down.
She says Andy. Auntie. Yeah.
Andy.
She did do that. She had that Schitt's Auntie. Creek.
Yeah.
Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah, Catherine O'Hara. Moira. Well.
Freaking Moira.
Andy.
Dude. That's great. Ooh, look at this clip. This is not from your mom, but this is something I hacked from your hard drive.
I was hoping you got this.
This is not from your mom.
This is you trying to find the bra clip on your prom night's dress or on her just her bra clip, right? This is later in the evening, and this is what you said.
Where is it?
Wow. Wow. You were really relieved there at the end that you finally found it.
At no point was I ever that fast. Even today.
See, for me, this is like a ridiculously this week only joke. That was Rudy Giuliani digging around in his pants looking for something.
Yeah. I started that movie.
Thanks, Borat.
Here's the problem with Borat movies. I started it and I like those movies. And I find him to be a genius, and I don't know how he ends up doing half of what he does, but I can only go about 10 minutes and then I need a break, and then I can do another 10 and then I need a break. Like the situations he gets in, let's just say there's a moment with a cupcake in this thing, this new movie, that the following scene after a cupcake was consumed, without spoiling anything, made me so squirmy. I was losing my mind.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It was so hard, and I had to take a break. Yeah. Then I came back, finished the scene. Yeah. Okay, moving on to the next one. I just have, that's how, I can only watch Borat in 10 minutes.
Increments. It's a bit much.
Too bad Quibi isn't a thing anymore. It'd have been perfect.
Too soon.
Oh, man.
Quibi.
Quibi only lasted less than Quibi. Six months.
No one
five and a half months.
This coming.
No. 5.5 months that thing lasted. So think of all the things that went longer than that. And there you go. All right. I'm alive.
I'm alive.
I don't remember what that was about. The mom, was it? Alive. Who was that? Was that the girl?
I'm alive.
Somebody making fun of him for thinking the doll's alive, right?
Yeah.
Gotta be the mom, stepmom. She was a poop.
She was a poop.
Here's a thing I never said to anyone ever.
Get lost, microchip.
Yeah, microchip.
The alive is the teacher. This is the teacher.
I'm alive.
She was reading a poem.
Oh.
Beth Grant. Yeah, what's that? Yeah, I can do that. Yeah.
She was doing that when she was reading to the kids before or during class.
Batten Bush or whatever her name was.
She was doing the Pinocchio reading. That's right.
Yep. I wrote here the three Andys.
Andy.
There you go.
One more time.
Andy.
Did you edit those together? Or was that all one scene?
Nope, one scene, which is why it annoyed me, because I'm like, that's not paced very well. You don't go Andy. I'm like, come on. It's dumb.
Andy.
Here's where I wrote ball grasp. I'm not going to try to understand what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
It's supposed to be ball gasp. I wrote grasp. Yeah.
If sound doesn't take you back to playing four square in elementary school, then there's no hope for you.
Or dodgeball. That's what that reminds me of.
Dodgeball. It's those red balls.
I feel so sorry for all the people in all the cultures that didn't ever play Foursquare, because Foursquare is such a great game.
Foursquare is a great game and still should be played now. People play Foursquare. And if you don't know the rules, it's on the internet. That's the great thing about the internet. It's on there. All right. Shit and pull over.
Shit. Pull over.
All right. That's a pretty good Brad Dourif shit.
Shit.
Shh. He really pushes out the shit. All right. What? Oh, they really like the cop Foley in this movie. This happened multiple times, so I'll just play some of it. When there was like an aftermath moment, man, they cranked up that police radio. They love doing that.
Mm-hmm. And you have to listen. You have to try to make it out.
Yeah.
Right. With the 5'11 in progress.
Yeah. We got a 5150 at the
Van Halen concert.
Yeah, corner of Van and Halen. Can we get down there? And all right, here is a echo you would never make in a warehouse like that. No! You wouldn't do that. You're surrounded by cardboard. Knock it off. There's no echo. You dumb movie.
That is one of the biggest big no's I've ever heard. Big node.
It's a big no.
Big node?
Big node. It's a big node. You heard that, right? All right. Time for this. It's the Film Sack Checklist. No one has that turkey knife anymore. Jack.
Yes, I do.
Do you have one?
Oh, man. Yes, we do too. And we use it for Thanksgiving every year.
It's stored in the cupboard above the fridge for some reason. That little cupboard.
Right next to all the 1980s Tupperware.
Yeah.
It's stored in the giant cook pot that we use for the turkey.
Yeah.
I have not seen one of those since I was in high school. So
yeah,
me too. And exactly where we keep it too, in that little cabinet above the fridge.
Well, yeah.
What a lazy thing.
Muffin tin.
I'm here to tell you, like, when you make a freaking ribeye roast, a standing roast, there is nothing better for cutting it than that knife. Oof.
I mean, for big beef, yeah. I'm with you.
For big beef.
Thank you for agreeing with me.
I agree with that. I think it would be turkey. I could go either way. Just give me a knife. Not a big deal. All right. I wouldn't want to die in those pajamas either. Check. Those dad pajamas are bad.
Yeah. Mm.
Your movie only had 7 deaths, and that's lame for a horror movie. Check.
Yeah.
More deaths, please. I know you only had 84 minutes, the shortest of the series, but come on. Let's have some killings, and let's make them gnarly. Okay? All right.
Right.
Soundtrack great. I give it a AEHM for all eights. Sorry. What did I write? All 80s horror movies?
All 80s?
All 80s?
No. Horror movie? Maybe.
No, maybe.
I must have meant that. I wrote eights. Yeah, all 80s horror movie. Boy, I'm doing the good work here. Yes, that's what I meant. Well done on that. Hey, it's time for the Twitter post. It's where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Child's Play 2. Delightfully gross. Wickedly fun. A romp for all kinds of people. Except children, prudes, those who are faint of heart, and those who are too old to enjoy themselves. Just like a Saturday night at Ibbitt's house.
Oh, man. That's my favorite kind of Saturday night at Ibbitt's house. Brian Dunaway.
Oh, hi. Child's Play 2, because sometimes you have to fight a resurrected demon doll inhabited by the spirit of a serial killer currently hiding in the basement of your foster home with an electric carving turkey knife. Part 2.
Well done. Finally, Brian Ibbitt.
Child's Play 2, a harsh criticism of America's rabid consumerism and the realities of our failing foster care system. I'm just kidding. It's a killer doll movie.
Well done. Yeah, there's nothing to take home here. That's for sure. Well, look what's been handed to me here. I got in my hands a piece of paper that says these were the alternate titles. It was almost called Blade 4, It's in My Arm. Because I remember he put a blade in his arm. Uh-huh, we didn't even talk about that. That was weird.
Talked about it in my intro, but that's it.
Oh yeah, that's true. And this was
besides that.
Now my next the next title depends on where it was set. I thought it was set in New York. Am I wrong? Is it in
Chicago?
New York?
Chicago.
Well, shit, it doesn't work because I called it the New York doll. Moving on. Hey,
I actually had the words "running scared" in my intro originally.
Oh well, I screwed that up. Hello, Sackers, says our first email. This came to us at filmsack@gmail.com. This is from Neil. Says he's been a Film Sack listener since Plan 9 from Outer Space. That's a good entry point. Says, hello, Sackers. Recently finished Classic Doom for the first time, a.k.a. the first 3 chapters. And for me, I can't understand why I didn't like it. Most of it, I can get behind. Even Rosamund Pike's startled look, LOL. But you'd think they didn't CGI up The Rock to turn him into a cyber demon. Why didn't they do that?
Yeah.
It feels like this short stone's throw from whatever they did to make him the Scorpion King. Also, I can understand why they didn't put the spider demon in the movie, because it would be like the squid in Watchmen but no cyber demon. I mean, come on, LOL. Thanks for keeping up the great work, Neil. He puts lots of LOLs in his
Yeah. Is he really? Do you think he's really laughing out loud that much though while he's writing it?
I hope so.
Maybe he's just laughing.
I question people's guys. Use of, are you really laughing out loud?
My mom actually has lately started ending emails or like messenger messages with LOL to mean lots of love, and it is driving me crazy.
Oh, that's great! Yeah.
Really?
That's great.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love that. Oh my gosh, I love that. She just
because did. it's so easy to then make it so bad to say like, hey, I'm really sorry, you guys, that you know that your dog died. LOL.
Yeah, right? I know. LOL. Right. My mom does this, perfect. But with like seven. She discovered emojis, so she'll do like seven emojis at the end of everything, and none of them make any sense. It's like excited to see the baby at the thing. Chocolate cake, a guy's hand,
and a baby,
a picture of a dog. It's not even a picture of a dog. It's like a plant. Yeah, like all random stuff, like a pen and a piece of paper. It's like, Mom, what are you doing? I think she just isn't doing random.
And just send you an eggplant. You're like, okay, Mom.
I don't think this means what you think it means.
She's just doing what the kids are doing.
I just love the pictures. All right, here's one from Sam from Stockton. And he says, hey, guys, I just heard the recent Gremlins 2 Sacked episode. Wanted to see if anyone's made their own fan film of the property and found this one on YouTube. Look it up, called Gremlins colon Recall.
Now that sounds interesting.
He says, it looks actually good. Great episode as always. Thanks for the magnificent, entertaining, and informative reviews of all these years. So from Sam. Well, Sam, thank you for that. I am going to check it out. Somebody made a fan film, and I'm curious what that looks like. Because sometimes good, you know. And
just a few days after we recorded that episode, toy company decided to come out with a brand new advent calendar based on the Gremlins franchise. Yeah, and specifically about on Gremlins 2, it's a movie theater. The advent calendar is the movie theater. And each little door that you open up is a seat. And it's one of the different Gremlins from Gremlins 2.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, yeah. Look at this. It's called, so Google Gremlins Countdown Calendar, and you'll find it. $50. Oh, and they're little figurines.
Little plastic figurines, yeah, of like all the different.
I confused that in my head when you said it.
And Gizmo is the 25th.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't spoil it.
You've got a couple fuzzy Mogwais. You've got a couple cocoons. You got the lightning bolt. Gremlin.
Wow.
Or the electricity gremlin. I can't tell. Look at the pictures are too small, but I think the brainy gremlin is in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's in here in the front with a suit on.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think that's who that's supposed to be. I'm not sure now. But the guy with like the 3D glasses in there, you got the guy with the
Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. There's the one lady. Yeah, and then a bunch of random ones that just look like regular gremlins. And then some proto-looking gremlins or something?
Yeah, some like ghost, spirity-looking gremlins.
Either that or they're post-destruction, like when they turn on.
Oh, melty gremlins.
Yeah.
Sunlight gremlins.
Oh, and then did you say the electric guy? He's in there.
Yeah, the lightning guy, yeah.
Yeah, so stupid. I kind of want this now, but whatever.
Yeah, sure.
What do I know?
Who doesn't?
Probably
I guess it's better than an advent calendar because an advent calendar is usually just 25 toys. This is 31. So you got to start this thing around Thanksgiving if you get it for Christmas.
On the 30th day of Christmas. That doesn't work as well.
No.
Just stop at 12. All right. hey, that's it for your emails. Filmsack@gmail.com. Please keep those coming. We love them. Our next film and our final film of our Sacktober this year of 2020 will be the original 1982 Poltergeist. Yeah.
Because we've seen the second one. Now it's time to watch the first one.
And it's
the perfect Halloween film. I agree. This is a movie that you do put on Halloween when you have people over to watch a scary movie.
Yes.
That scared me so much I had to leave the theater and pee.
Yep.
Aw.
I know. He was 42 at the time. Can you imagine?
I was, yeah. That's so true.
I really, really have fond feelings for Poltergeist, and it will be good to see this in the light or shadow of the sequel, which is not good. At least comparatively, it's not good.
Right.
So we'll have lots to say about that, and we'll be ending our Sacktober and marking our 11 years on the air.
Oh, wow.
On Film Sack, yeah. Yep. I mean, no one really celebrates 11, but last year was 10, and that was a big deal. So
that was a big deal.
Yeah. But here we
are. This is a big deal.
Yeah, big freaking deal. So check that out. That's next week right here on FilmSack. In the meantime, FilmSack.com is the web address where you'll find all the things that you might need. If you know how the internet works, hot damn, you're there. Like I said, FilmSack@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @FilmSack. And you can leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. That'll do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
I don't carry cash.
We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Whoa.
Ah! Man.